The first and most important rule of gun running is never get shot with your own merchandise. The second rule of gun running is always ensure you have a foolproof way to get paid. Of all the weapons in the vast Soviet arsenal, nothing was more profitable than Avtomat Kalashnikova, model of 1947, more commonly known as the AK-47 or Kalashnikov. It's the world's most popular assault rifle, a weapon all fighters love.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C-Ford.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much in that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay. I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you listen to the show for this long, you know this, I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous kill.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 113. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And the website is www.hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And you can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Pound Gamer, where you can listen to a bunch of useless shit all day long. and you can spew forth your own worthless shit if you're tired of all the Chuck Norris jokes in World of Warcraft.
And pie.
I have actually not managed to see all these pie jokes yet, but I've more than my fair share of Chuck Norris jokes. Apparently he can divide by zero, and if he fucking spells words wrong, like Webster's Dictionary just changes it. There's a whole host of great jokes out there that the interweb community has come up with for Mr. Chuck Norris. Unfortunately, he was going to be our guest today, but he didn't make it. He was too busy trying to save the world. As we've been,
which is understandable.
Right, you know, that's a very legitimate reason to not make the show. It happens to us once in a while. So I'm sorry, as promised, Chuck Norris will not be here tonight. He's not with us. He's out saving the world again. Now, we got to start off with some email, and then we'll get into some games that are not World of Warcraft. Let's see. Bam. This is from Puppy. Episode 112, Linux Gaming and Sound Issues. Hi, C4. Kobar. I was running the Ubuntu Linux distro until recently, and if you can take a few days to get your head around it, Sudoku works. It's pronouncing it that I have a problem with. Sudoku works quite well, or how the fuck you pronounce that, works quite well running PC games in Linux. However, and there's always a however in Linux, isn't there? I am now the proud owner of the new Creative X-Fi sound card. It's absolutely fantastic, but support for it in Linux is going to be incorporated sometime. Maybe never, according to all the reliable sources. Now, I want to stop right there, because I was within an inch of picking up one of these cards this week, in fact.
Oh, yeah?
It's because I cannot tolerate onboard sound. I hate it.
Right.
And if some of the listeners remember, my Audigy finally died after multiple years of use and definitely got my money's worth out of it, but I really do not like Creative Labs, which puts you in a really, really strange situation, you know, when you're out looking for a sound card.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what's that one company, like a Turtle Beach or whatever?
Right.
They put out some garbage, you know. They put out a decent card every now and again that, if you can find it, and if your game supports it, you know, like, you'll get it, it'll work great, like in Windows, and then you go ahead and get, like, a game, and it's like, oh, we have no idea what you're trying to do here, you know? Go ahead and pay Creative Labs. And it's just like...
A3D was good, but they got bought by Creative Labs.
By Creative Labs, right. You know, Unreal. They were fantastic. And unfortunately, they're not around anymore. And once again, you have to wind up, if you want, you know, decent quality... I'm not going to say great quality, because they're not. Decent quality... add in PCI card that's not, you know, $600, not a pro quality card.
Right.
You know, you're kind of stuck looking at Creative Labs. You know, and it really, really sucks. I have multiple problems with their stuff, and I don't like the idea that I don't have a choice. You know, like at least with the video card market, I can pick a side and stick with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, but as far as sound cards go, you're kind of stuck using whatever Creative Labs wants you to use. And this new one here, the X-Fi, it sounds like it's almost based off the exact same thing as like the Odyssey is, at least because they keep calling it the same thing, you know, like EMU 10K chipset or whatever right. They've got. This new one's like 2.5K or whatever it is, you know, or 25K or whatever. It sounds like it's the exact same thing, and I just don't have it in me to pay them any more money. But I discovered I can get one of their cards pretty cheap, like the Platinum card, I think. It's the one without all the extra shit, though, then. So maybe it's just like the regular version of it or whatever it's supposed to be.
It doesn't have all those crazy hookups.
Like, I don't need all those dials and widgets and all this crap right. on mine. You know, I just need a basic sound card for nice 5.1 stereo and recording. And I even think there's something weird with their recording because they have, like, they're missing a port. So, like, you don't have, like, a line in and a microphone. You have, like, one, and you have to, like, switch it in the software or something.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure exactly what that's all about. I haven't really read up as much as I should. But as far as Linux support goes, I remember trying to get my Sound Blaster Live to work on Linux years back, like in 99 or something, maybe 2000. And oh, my God. It was a pain in the ass. I probably even told the story here once before where I spent, like, 2 weeks trying to figure it out. We had a 0.1 alpha driver, you know, with a little handwritten note from Creative. You know, good luck. You know, and, you know, it worked for a lot of people. It didn't work for a lot of people. And after a week, I got it to work, you know, and it's like, wow, this is amazing. Thank God I have basic stereo sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what I'm saying is I wouldn't put too much faith into Creative Labs because, I mean, their drivers for Windows suck. So how do you think any support they're going to give you for anything else is going to be? Which is where you rely on the community, but Creative Labs won't let out any of their specifications.
Right.
You know, they won't tell you how it's done for fear of competition. So yeah, there's that whole thing. Anyway, let's see. Oh, and another thing about the show, as you will know from the forums, I usually listen to your podcast in quite a noisy environment. It's obvious that you are near the mic, but sometimes Kobar sounds like he's on the other side of the room and also speaks quite softly. So often, I can hardly hear him. Get that guy his own mic, you cheapskate. Cheers, puppy.
I'll start talking like this.
The problem is, I actually don't know what the problem is. I think you don't put on like that mega radio voice like I do.
Yeah, I actually have my own mic. It's sitting like two inches away from my face.
We've always had that. I think there's been like one or two shows where we only used one microphone.
Uh-huh. And I don't even remember them.
I do. It was the day the ghost like was killing microphones and stuff in the house, and it was making that.
Oh,
remember?
Right.
I remember that. It was about the time the Odyssey died.
Right.
Because we had a microphone die too.
And it was some kind of power surge and something happened.
It was, yeah, right. It was surging the sound card.
Uh-huh. That's right. The splitter was.
Right. That was a disaster.
So, yeah, I have my own mic. I just am a soft talker, and I try to keep it up, but sometimes it drops.
He's doing fine now, but he'll forget in like 20 minutes.
Like right now, I'm thinking about it because of the email.
Just to let you all in on a great little secret here. I wish I had video of some of these things, at least certain sections of the show, because I'll sit here and he'll start talking and I'll raise my hand up like all the time. One of those little things that nobody ever knew about the show before. Constantly. I've been doing that for years. I kind of louder, loud noises.
Yeah, I talk quietly in real life, and so when I get on here, the same thing happens.
At first, I just thought it was shyness.
What?
The day I meet you, hey, let's do this little radio show. But I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time now, so.
Yeah, that's just the way I talk, and I try to keep it up, but it doesn't always work. And C4 is doing something here.
I was looking at the show. So look up the archives, because it occurs to me, what the hell's today? The 11th of February or something?
No, 12th.
The 12th? Okay. Mm-hmm. The 12th of February, our very first show was the 25th of February, 2003.
Oh.
Wow. So yeah, good stuff to remember there. I'm going to have to like not plan something for the yearly anniversary show or whatever.
Which will be three years now.
Yeah, that's a long time. That's a long damn time. I quit. All right.
Bye.
On to the next email here. Uncle Toxie, you're killing me. Okay, I would like to officially offer my services to you as holder of useless information. I'm listening to episode 111, and I am tearing out my hair. You were talking about Serenity, my vote for movie of the year, by the way, and you're just off the mark. I know. You're not good with the details and such.
What? I don't remember what we said that was wrong.
Ah, I do. Okay. It was because we weren't so sure about some of the things that were happening in the movie and the TV show. And it was probably me, because I never watched any of it. All right, he switches on geek mode here. Serenity was, in fact, the name of the ship in Firefly, it was in which you knew all that and told us that. It was named after the Battle of Serenity Valley.
Which I also said.
Right. Serenity was also the name of the original pilot episode that was aired last by the fucktards at Fox.
Right, because it was about the battle.
Oh, okay, okay. I see. Now, the Blue Handmen were dealt with in the three-issue comic series that came out before the movie.
Okay, well, I never got to see those. In fact, I just found out about their existence like yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Whoa. And here I thought we were going to have some new news for you. And you were going to go, oh, awesome. There will be a complete collection released soon. The original the origin of Shepherd book may well never be known. That's just the way Joss wants it. Geek mode off. That, as they say, is that. I'd be happy.
Which sucks, because there's like, every time they're dealing with the Shepherd, they like he would like make reference to there's this huge past that we don't know about.
And oh, like there's all this deeper stuff.
Yeah,
and
it was a big deal about the Shepherd. Like every time that he was a big deal, there was some kind of little tiny piece that you'd go, now what the hell is going on with that guy?
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It'd be nice though if they would give you a little bit of stuff though. I mean, it's cool that he does that.
It's cool that it was done, but now I never get to know.
Right. It's like, you know what, that for some reason it jumped in my head was Futurama. Remember in Futurama, if you watched it from like the very first, you know, episode on and you were just hooked, and then they introduced that whole thing with Nibbler and how he's from the future and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, the little guy.
Right. The little guy that drops those like megaton turds that are the size of like a marble. Yeah. Remember that they showed him like in the first episode and they'd planned it, you know, from the start. At least they showed us things like this. I'm sure people noticed this too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later on. I don't know why that popped in my head.
Well,
anyway.
There was that one episode where they go back where he and Nibbler go back.
And they show him, like, push his chair in or whatever, and you can see, like, his little thing sticking out of the garbage can or something, or next to it or something. Yeah.
And they showed the other side of that, what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. That was awesome. But, like, they explained it. They went through all that, because I'm sure a lot of people noticed that later on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fans of shows like that watch them all the time, and I'm sure they would pick up on, you know, the shadow of Nibbler in the first episode after watching it for 3 years or whatever before that episode aired, you know. It would drive people nuts. You know? Anyway, that, as they say, is that. I'd be happy to spew useless information your way anytime you need it. That's from Uncle Toxie. We need useless information all the time. Because if you can't tell, that's what we do here. Damn straight. You know how we roll.
Yep.
That's right. All right. UT Soul Reaver, whose name I keep fucking up. Hey, C4 and Kobar, possible insert random guest here. That would be Chuck Norris, but as I said, he's out of the studio today. Glad to know I made history on episode 111 with his movie list.
Right.
Wow, this is really neat. A Super Mario game on the Nintendo DS. This might just be enough reason for me to go out and get one. tinyurl.com/8 OJZZ. Oh, and by the way, you've said my name wrong in the last two emails. Thanks. Soul. All right, well, you know, at least he signed it this time. Because I go off of, he's got his real name on there, an email address which is different, and this time it's signed. Sign your emails, people, please. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That Mario Brothers game, though, have you checked this out? Like, other than, like, just that video?
No, I have not.
Okay, now, beyond that video, I haven't seen a whole lot about this, but I do remember hearing about this for, God, it's probably been over a year now, it seems like, where, anyway, the tiny URL link that he provided us with was just to a video of actual gameplay.
Right.
On, I guess, the DS, and it looks, I mean, it's just... It's an old-school gamer's wet dream as far as Super Mario Brothers is concerned. It's Super Mario Brothers, new graphics, new levels, you know, all new animations. You know, I mean, this is completely redone, but it's Super Mario Brothers, you know? And it's new levels, so it's not like you're going to play the old crap over and over again. Like, you know, hey, Super Mario Brothers is fun. I can play that shit all day long. You know, but there comes a point where it's like, okay, I've done this level. I've played through this game a million times. I only play to pass time in between whatever else, you know?
Right.
But this is all new levels and whatnot. And you actually brought up an interesting point, because all we saw was like one level, you know?
And just a little bit of it.
Right, yeah. But your point, was it more like...
I was wondering if it was more like Super Mario World or more like Super Mario Brothers, like the more original. I seriously doubt it's like more like 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's probably more like 3 or World.
Right.
Where you walk around on a mini-map and whatever. Because, I mean, that was the last iteration of like... real Super Mario Brothers, like in 2D that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's another thing. This is like, it's like 3D graphics, 2D style though.
Right.
So like you're seeing really, really
nice
graphics. Yeah.
I love that.
this is beautiful. We need more games like this. Bring us, give us the greatest, the R-types, the Super Mario Brothers, the Bonk's Adventures like this.
And we got a new Sonic.
Contrast.
On the DS.
Sonic. Perfect example. See, that's a game I would play. Mm-hmm. I don't like, you know, like a 3D version of Sonic. They don't need to be in 3D. It just doesn't play out well. It's like with, you know, Sonic
some
doing drive-bys
like
and stuff. They're crazy.
Some people just like it, which is why they kept making them, because they were still making money.
Four or five people bought it. like, oh, God, I don't understand it. But see, the problem is like, you know, they equate a good game to you know, money. Mm-hmm, you know, how much did they make? How many copies did this game sell? Whether or not this game was absolute shit or not is irrelevant.
Well, and frankly, it's understandable. I mean, they're a business.
Right. They're in this for money.
The success of a business is how much money it makes.
Exactly. So if it's bringing in the money, it has to be a good game, right? Case in point brings us to our next email from Jeff Mann. Okay? This is about our friends, Electronic Arts.
Okay.
Dear Plastic Explosive co-host Bar, spelled with a C, and any other freeloading noob hats on the show this week. Co Bar is spelled with a K, by the way. I see that in a lot of emails. They spell with a C for some reason, yeah. It's K to the O to the B-A-R. I write to you with news on your favorite developer, EA Games. Yay, we all love EA. The big E and A. This is some old news to some people in the Battlefield 2 community, but not that old. And you let to cover it on a show unless I miss something. And you let to, I don't know what that sentence is supposed to be, but it's, we never covered it unless he missed it. No, you didn't. EA is putting out its own EA downloader. Fear the EA-ness. Okay, enough with purposely misspelling and stupid grammars.
Are we talking like Steam?
We are talking, let me, okay, the next two words, like Steam.
Sorry.
Good call. at least he's making his point across very, very clearly. Like Steam, for Valve, EA is making its own downloader for updates, making sure you really paid for your copy of whatever game you're playing, Part 9, and all there is... wait, God, this is really hard to read. And all their other I Spy Something with my EA Big Eye software. Now here's the sad part. Let's see. God damn it. Okay. You know what we have to do? We have to fire up like Microsoft Word and figure out what the grammar check hotkey is and the spell check hotkey is. It's going to make my life a whole lot easier when we let people know what that is. Sad in the way they're tricking you into downloading it and wanting to, and sad that you will want to. They are shipping out a free, must be they are shipping it out free, yes, free with five E's, that's right, he spelled it with five E's, free, expansion pack to add some little nice goodies, a new country to play, the Brits, I believe, new maps based on the US of A, ow, sexy, and new armored thingies to run people over with. Too bad this game doesn't have roadkill sound effects. So on one hand, download EA Spyware and get a not-too-bad free expansion pack, or don't and wait like Half-Life 1, Half-Life 2, Counter-Strike, Counter-Strike Source, Day of Defeat, and any other thing. Valve, you have to run an app like Steam to play Battlefield 1942 and Battlefield 2 and in all their glory. I assume that's what that's supposed to be. Personally, I hate this stuff and don't want to have to download it on EA software to play my games that I paid for. Yeah, I paid for EA games. Sorry, C4, burn me on a cross, for I have sinned. The Jeff Man. Now, Jeff Man, I too have sinned. Forgive me, Father.
On that very game.
On that very game, I did purchase Battlefield 2, which I tried to make abundantly clear that the demo was a blast. And against my better judgment, I went ahead and purchased that game for $40 US.
You had to renew your hate.
Right. That's just, you know, every now and again, you got to remind yourself why things suck. You know, it's like getting back together with an old girlfriend just to fight with her one last time. You know, just so it's stuck in your mind that I can't stand this bitch and she's done me wrong. Right? Well, it's the same thing with Electronic Arts. Now, I've tried to repent for my sins. And I've done nothing but attack EA for Battlefield 2 sucking since then. The demo I did have an absolute blast with, and I cannot explain how the retail game blows, and the demo was a lot of fun. And on top of that, I did manage to sell my copy of Battlefield 2 for $25. So far I'm only $15 in the Electronic Arts hole, which is gonna make up for some, burnout action I've been playing. We'll just consider that an even trade.
There you go.
Right. Now, In case his letter was not clear, and my God, every there was like the incorrect spelling of the type of there he wanted, and there's, yeah. So if that wasn't very clear, somehow you understood that we were looking at a Steam type operation for Electronic Arts games. Basically, if you're going to have to, you know, you're going to want to play an Electronic Arts computer game, you're going to be downloading the Electronic Arts downloader. Okay, this is, you know, it'll do cheat verifies, it'll update, you know, your game to make sure you're running the latest versions, keep you up to date with, you know, patches to maps, game patches and whatnot.
Luckily for all the EA haters out there, the idea that this will not be hackable is completely laughable.
Oh, yeah.
Steam is 100% hackable. You can get around it all kinds of ways. And this will be no different.
It's on a computer.
Yeah.
If it's on a PC, it's completely hackable. Same thing with a console. It just takes a little more work.
Right.
A little more expertise.
Yeah, this is not the end of the world. You will get your shit, and you will get it for free if you need to, and whatnot, or without having to deal with it.
It sounds like they're going to wind up probably forcing it upon you at some point in the future anyway, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to what's the latest expansion pack for Battlefield 2? Special Forces or something?
I think so.
Right. You know they're going to have another one. They shipped this one out like, it seems like 3 months after the damn game was released. They're probably going to pile it in with an expansion pack or something, you know, and with all their future games, I can see it now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, the downside is when you're playing an online game like this, you know, you have to worry about cheaters playing online,
mm-hmm.
and the company, the best they can really do is, you know, try to monitor your box, see what you're running, see what your file names are, check the file sizes, check what's running in memory. You know what else does that? Spyware.
Yep.
Okay, and if you have a Windows machine and you're dumb enough to use Internet Explorer and or forced to, okay, you probably know what spyware is, you know? And it kind of sucks.
Or if
sucks,
you don't,
you know?
That's why your machine is running like ass.
Right, if you wondered, wow, this was a lot faster just a little while ago. Yeah, there's your answer. It's called spyware, you know? But in any case, like, even Blizzard has to do it. Blizzard has to resort to, what is that called, Warden?
Yeah.
That watches your PC, what's running on it, and whatever, and checks to make sure that you're not running any, you know, illegal programs, you know, illegal. Okay, we gotta throw that nasty, nasty word in there. It doesn't mean illegal, it means cheat. Okay, in this case. But you have to put up with that if you want to enjoy their game. And, you know, I don't think these people will ever learn. Okay, it's the same idea behind copy protection. You're not screwing the people that are cheating and copying your games. You're mm-hmm. screwing the people that bought it. You know, and the you know, maybe the guy fucking has, you know, home video of porn on his computer or something, and then, you know, your little program comes sniffing through and finds it and reports this guy probably has file sharing programs. There's mm-hmm. porn on his computer. Get his ass, you know? I mean, whatever the case, having your PC run all these extra applications and whatnot is terrible. You know, this sucks. You wonder why you have low performance in games? Check what's running at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's horrible. There's, I don't.
And more importantly, it's an
invasion of your privacy.
Exactly.
I was working on getting there.
It's terrible, and it really kind of pisses me off. Because, like you said, this is all this ends up doing is being a bitch for the people, your actual customers. The people who bought who stole it,
they don't care, one, because they can rip it out.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it doesn't bother them because at least they're informed on it. They know how to block it. They know how to stop it or remove it. More than likely, at least block it, you know? Look at the Star
Force going
people.
To.
Yeah, and they're going to. Bingo. You know, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every time. It happens every damn time. And Blizzard's the greatest example. You know, they're sitting there with, like, the most popular game on the internet right now. Okay. And they've got Warden. They're unstoppable, unhackable. Oh my God, we're the shit. And if you don't like it, you're not playing our game. Along comes Sony. Thanks for the help, Sony. Now we have more people cheating in World of Warcraft, you know? Mm-hmm. And believe me, Blizzard, you guys have a lot of work to do. There's people that are running bots to run around and level for them. Glider, look into it. It's such a bunch of shit. My God. All right. We did actually have a little bit of news in this dry desert Sahara of fucking game news this time of year. I seeing February up here in the corner of my notes, it's just like, ugh.
Right after Christmas and the dead middle of summer are the
dry
two worst times.
Spells, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're just waiting to roll out some fat stuff all at the same time. Good idea. Instead of just spacing out the good games. You know, I mean, if they spaced out good games throughout the year, maybe I could play a few more games. Because what happens is you wind up getting, you know, Fear, Doom 3, or Quake 4, and some other shit, Serious Sam 2, all in the same week. Mm-hmm. What the hell do you spend your money on? You know, but you know what? Any one of those games could have shipped, you know, a month before or a month after. And you probably would have been able to buy them all and experience them all. Instead, you wind up picking one usually, you know? And hey, it would help piracy a little bit, you know? If you weren't shoveling games down people's throats all at the same time, you wouldn't have to pick, well, I'll buy this one and download those.
Yep.
You know, not that you have to, you know, you're not forced to, but it sure feels like it for those of you unsavory characters that, you know, participate in stuff like that.
How could you?
Bastards. Now, let's see here. You know what? We had more Electronic Arts news. Now, I guess they've got the trademark for System Shock, mm-hmm. and System Shock and System Shock 2, and fans of this series, I've noticed, are absolutely just, like, rabid fans. Like, they just, like, it's, like, the best game ever, still.
Hi, Rybo.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking at you, Rybo. I know you like to throw that in my face every now and again when I bring up any other game that calls itself horror or scary. Okay? Now, in any case, Electronic Arts, on December 15th, refiled for their trademark on System Shock.
This literally could mean nothing.
Absolutely not a damn thing, period.
It could just be that they didn't want anybody else being able to use the name System Shock.
Which makes complete sense. I would do the same thing.
But it also could mean that they are thinking about making a new one.
Right. And if that's, you know, my God, System Shock 3, people are going to lose their freaking minds.
Which I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, System Shock was hugely popular, and it's been quite a while.
Right. I mean, even if the game sucks, a lot of people are still going to buy it.
Uh-huh.
You know? And it'll probably sell tons. It'll be worth it for Electronic Arts to make it. So, you know, I mean, that's something to keep an eye out for, though. I have heard absolutely zero news, zero rumors, nothing on System Shock 3, though. No. Other than the fact that somebody on, I don't even remember where the hell I found this, some gaming site noticed Electronic Arts refiled for their trademark on System Shock.
I think there's people that just, like, check it every day.
I think there is, too, because of all the retarded stuff that comes across there. My God, if you even look at some of the stuff that's on the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website, wow, that was pretty slick. USPTO.gov in the hizzy. They got some crap. There's some garbage on there. Like, you cannot believe it. Half-Life 2. Now, here's a great example. What else came out around the time Half-Life 2? Doom 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had to make a choice. I had to either buy Doom 3 or I had to buy Half-Life 2. I wound up buying Doom 3 because I'm a bigger fan of Doom 3. Maybe it's more of like a... It very well might just be because, you know, hey, Doom was like the first real mega awesome first-person shooter I played.
You also didn't really like Half-Life.
Right, on top of that, too. But I notice a lot of people these days are Half-Life fans, you know? Generally, they're younger than I am, though. So that's just something, a little thing I've kind of picked up on. But in any case, I chose for Doom 3. Loved the ever-living fuck out of that game. So I've never got to actually play Half-Life 2. I still haven't. I'm not going to go out and pirate their game. My God, that's illegal. I don't have it. But I'm not going to buy it either because, you know, hey, you know, it seems like an old game now already, you know?
Well, and I'm sorry to all the fans of Half-Life 2, but it seems to me that the only thing that's all special and great that everybody always talks about for that damn game is you're able to pick up barrels and throw them at your enemy. Or saws, and you're able to throw them at your enemy. It's the gravity gun.
Right.
And I could really care less about the gravity
gun. It's pretty lame. You could do that in Doom 3, too. They had a little shooter gun pickup magnetic thingy. 9,000.
I could really care less.
Yeah, me too. It just doesn't seem
like... That's... The physics are what everybody is always talking about in Half-Life 2.
Right.
Oh my God, how the bodies fall. Oh my God, how you can throw the saw blades. Oh my God. And I don't know.
I never hear, oh my God, what a great story.
Yeah.
You know? No, I don't hear that. I hear, wow, I can't wait for mods to come out for this.
Or how great the AI is, or any of that.
Yeah. Give us something that we actually care about. But anyway, there is an expansion pack for Half-Life 2 that's been announced. A while back, we did mention that. It was called Aftermath. Apparently, this is big, huge news, because it's Half-Life 2, so my God, we gotta talk about it, has been retitled Episode 1, because Valve has gone ahead and said that they're going to have, like, content updates periodically.
Huh.
Like, and this strikes me as what Sony Online Entertainment tried to do with EverQuest 2, where every so often they release, like, a little tiny expansion pack, a little
that
something.
That you pay,
something.
Like, $10 for or something.
Right, right. Well, or as much as they can milk out of you.
Right.
I remember Sony... $5. $5, people. That's it. That's all you're going to have to pay. $5. It's so worth it. So nice and cheap. Come get it. Holy shit. Almost everybody that plays EverQuest 2 bought that. we'll have to release another one. $8, people. That is all you will need for extra content. Only $8.
Well, it's the same thing with the monthly fees. Whenever Quest 1 came out, brand new game, $10 a month.
Right.
Final Fantasy comes out, $12.95. Not that bad.
Right.
WoW and EQ2 come out, $15.
Right.
Because they realize that the market will bear more. That people are willing to buy to pay more.
People, I bet, would pay an awful lot, too.
And it's not because the cost has gone up.
No. My ass. If anything, they're getting a break on their bandwidth.
Oh, yeah.
AT&T just says, here, you just take this whole line, Blizzard. Just take it all. We're tired of sharing you with everybody else. Take it all. Get it now. I swear to God. Now, in the wonderful world of the Xbox 360, if yours still works properly, all three of you out there,
I think there's five now.
Is there? Oh, my God. Microsoft's shipping some back. Good deal. There's a little bit of update kind of news for players of two different games, Perfect Dark Zero and Cameo Elements of Power. I guess, holy crap, I managed to... No, I did write it down. Okay. I had my spacing all weird there. Thank you, Notepad, you piece of shit. Okay. Perfect Dark Zero gets new multiplayer maps. And Cameo is going to have Xbox Live co-op play added to it, which is pretty damn cool. I like co-op games like that. You know, that's a lot of fun, especially like cool platformer games. Toe Jam and Earl is a great example for me.
As long as they made the content a little tougher.
Right, yeah. God, I would hope you wouldn't just go through smashing through mobs at double the speed.
Yeah.
That would get pretty lame after a while.
Throw on some extra HP or extra mobs.
Yeah, at the very least. Extra hit points. Yeah, at the very least. However, I do not know when this is coming out. And the interesting thing about the articles that I was reading that mentioned this also mentioned there's not a projected cost estimate yet. That says to me this is not free content updates.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. I, for one, do not like the idea of having to pay for minor little things like that to a console game. I mean, adding in co-op play to Cameo... I mean, sure, that may have taken a lot of effort to develop, but do you really... I mean, is it going to be used that much? Is that game that much fun that you've already played it through one time, maybe two or three times, and now you want to hop online and fight the same levels over and over and over again? Quite possibly, if you're a huge fan. It's the reason I still play Super Mario Brothers.
You got a brother or something, and you're a little kid, and...
And he's a room over next to you on a different Xbox Live connection. It's Xbox Live multiplayer, not... Hot seat, not really. Two-player, simultaneous multiplayer, yeah. So, I mean, it's Xbox Live support only for multiplayer.
Who the hell wants to sit and play co-op with someone you don't know?
On a platformer. It just seems kind of strange. It must have just been really easy for them to implement or something. Yeah. And Perfect Dark Zero gets new multiplayer maps, which is always good, but see...
Didn't that game suck?
I don't know. I never actually played it. I didn't hear too many good things about it, though. But if it's any decent as a first-person shooter, not... Wow, like a multiplayer first-person shooter. If it's anything decent like that at all, they shouldn't really charge for a few new multiplayer maps. Even if it's $1, that's like, come on, you know, give us a few more maps. Okay, you've already got our money, and squeezing another $1 out of the people that have already spent $60 on your game isn't going to help you, okay? But if people hear, holy shit, guys, you know, yeah, I have Perfect Dark Zero, and you guys should buy this game too so that we can fight each other, and there's, you know, extra maps you can download for free. That might reel in a few more buyers, whereas, you know, you make a lot more money than that extra just $1, you know?
Right.
Very, you know, you need to really kind of consider that with your cost there, you know, Microsoft or Rare, whichever one of you two is trying to squeeze more blood from the gamers.
It's the same thing now.
Right, well, yeah, they're 51% stake in it. Now, the Nintendo DS SP Ultra Color Advance. No, wait. The Nintendo DS Lite. Comes out March 2nd or 3rd in Japan. We don't have a U.S. or European release date yet. Three brand new colors for this thing. The crystal white, ice blue, and enamel navy. It's a little bit smaller, I guess, than yours, it looks like.
Right.
Just not a whole lot, but it is considerably smaller with the same size screens, though.
It's also sleeker. It's like thinner.
It's sharp looking.
So it fits better in your pocket.
That's nice, too. But what do we figure? About an inch thick by 6 inches long, about?
About, yeah.
Okay. Now we're getting to more realistic sizes here. Okay. I can slide that around in my pocket.
It also actually has even better battery life. Which makes it, what, 12 times longer lasting than the PSP?
Oh, no way. My PSP gets great battery life. Okay, let's see. Da-da-da-da. Only 3 hours to charge this battery, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it takes 4 hours for like a complete full charge on the normal DS. And the length that it lasts kind of varies because you can adjust the brightness of the screen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it goes from anywhere from up to 19 hours. That's if you have it set on like the lowest level and you're playing a game that may be not too demanding on the processor, so it's not sucking up that much juice, all the way down to 5 hours if you have the screen on the full brightness and you're playing a seriously hardcore game with sound all the way up and all that stuff.
Right.
So between 5 to 19 hours. That's not too bad, though. That's a good, solid chunk of gaming time there. I mean, even 5 hours, you know, hey, that's not too bad. If you know you're going to be away from a power source for that long, you can always turn it down and get, you know, quite a bit. They have, I guess, how many settings on this? Like 4?
Mm-hmm.
Low level, high level, highest, and something else. Lowest, yeah. Lowest, low, high, and highest. I don't know how they rank it. I guess they changed the power switch, too. It's not a button anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a switch now. And it's just like the PSP switch, where you have to hold it up to turn it off.
Right.
So that you don't accidentally turn the game off while it's in your pocket. Or
although you still very easily can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how... Every time I pull my phone out of my pocket, I have like 3 or 4 pictures in my pocket. And you have to hold down that button.
That does happen an awful lot. So, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Hopefully this will save some battery life for people if they were having problems having it turned on in their pocket or, you know, whatever the hell the case may be.
You should just put a button on the inside of the flip. It's got a flip on it.
I know. I don't know why they don't do that. It would be really simple.
Then you're 100% sure.
Yeah. Boy, that's... We should call Nintendo's engineers. Hello. Put a secure little button on the inside. It won't get accidentally pressed down.
Yeah, we just get told, Japanese ornery.
Yeah, yeah, really. And then hang up on us? Yeah. Oh, God. The horror Final Fantasy you forever.
I have to say this real quick because this is hilarious. My friend's playing Final Fantasy XI, friend from work, and he says he was in Juneau the other day, and some American was yelling at all of Juneau, like, J.P. Henry! O'Reary!
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Is it like... I mean, you know what they really just should do to that game? Since it's so old, they just need to do, like, World of Warcraft and, like, RF Online. Just split them into factions.
Yeah.
North American PC players versus the North American PS2Bs versus Japan. And it just needs to be full-on PvP.
PvP in that game would not fly.
No, but it would be really, really, really fun to just rip the shit out of some of those assholes.
If you were a Dark Knight.
So, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, boy. Final Fantasy XI goodness. Now, there is a few games that we had to talk about this week. One of them that came out for the PSP was Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max. Now, if you've never played Street Fighter before... Go ahead and grab your little mouse there, or reach for and go ahead and click on the off button on your MP3 player, or grab your little iPod and go ahead and hit stop, and then find the delete key on whatever device it is that you're using, and fuck off. Okay, now that we have the real gamers left, those of you know what the hell Street Fighter Alpha 3 is. This was basically the same idea, but handheld, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's got a bunch of modes of play. It's got, you know, world tour mode. You've got your training and arcade modes and your versus battle. You've got your, holy crap, dynamic battles. You can have multiple dudes on a team in the fight with you. You can have AI-controlled dudes in a fight with you.
It's basically a direct port.
Other than these extra, like, weird modes and whatnot, the original Street Fighter Alpha 3 didn't have quite all of this. It seems like it's got shit. Maybe I just never played them. Wolf and I played this forever, but we always played, you know, versus mode.
Right.
You know, but, and you can set this up on the wireless, the PSP wireless, so you can kick the crap out of your buddies there, without having any cords tethering you together and using the interweb.
Which is probably the greatest thing to ever come to handheld.
Oh, yes, thank God. I remember Wolf and I trying to play Zelda, Four Swords.
Sitting back to back with each other with the cord in between.
Yeah, it was so retarded. Oh my God, it sucked ass.
I mean, it was how it had to be done back
right,
then.
Right, right, yeah.
It's a great sucked. Thing to have happen to the
I abhor wireless, but you know what, on as far as handheld devices go, this is the greatest thing since Tetris. Handheld Tetris. That was a fantastic thing. This also, I mean, this keeps intact all the Street Fighter Alpha goodness that you remember all the characters, okay? There's a shitload of characters you can pick from. There's beautiful 2D graphics on a nice little tiny screen, mm-hmm. not your big-ass TV, so they look all mega-pixelated and whatnot. Right. They look good again on that nice, crisp PSP screen. Absolutely beautiful. They've got all the isms that you could pick that you had before. You know, your X-ism and A-ism. It was different fighting styles, basically.
Right.
Not styles, but more like how you charge up your power meter thing, you know, which would allow you to pull off your special moves differently. It's Street Fighter. Portable. This you cannot go wrong. This is like, hey, it's free and legal crack. Have some. Okay? This is fantastic. This is beautiful. All right. So Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max is out for the PSP. I highly, highly, highly suggest picking this up. The only problem that I have with this game is the PSP D-pad. Now, Kobar, being a true fighting game fan...
That I am.
...is a big believer in the analog stick.
I don't know if I'm a big believer, it's just what I always
use. Did you just hear all the, ooh? I think I just heard the interweb groan. Holy crap, I cannot believe you said that. But now, I was under the impression that Capcom was developing, and I thought it was for this game, a little, like, plastic or rubber deal that was circular... It was maybe a little bit of plastic and rubber, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a little circular deal that you placed over the D-pad of the PSP, and it kind of stuck to it, and it made it work better. Like it felt more like it should, like when you're playing a fighting game.
Right.
Because it's a little bit hard to pull your moves off because the D-pad is not that great for a fighting game. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it is on a PS2 DualShock 2 either. I really don't. DualShock 1, you name it, I don't think it's that good. I think it blows ass compared to like a Super Nintendo controller, and even the Xbox controller S, and my beloved Xbox 360 controller.
Is getting so much use.
Yeah, well, blame World of Warcraft. You can't use a fucking controller with that goddamn game. Although I don't think I'd want to. I'm just, you know, it just happens to be the thing I'm playing until 60, at least for now.
Right.
I'm sure there will come a game. That will make me actually use that controller a lot more. It's main use is emulation, though, and I do get on this weird kick, especially if I'm like really into TV or movies or something. I just need to kick back. I wind up playing Zelda and Super Mario Brothers for hours on end. A little bit of Bionic Commando action.
There you go.
It's good stuff. Now, speaking of games that might actually get played around here other than some damn MMORPG, we talked last week about how single-player RPGs have kind of a, you know, hard time competing with technology of the MMORPG, which may not be a superior game, but technology-wise, it is. Okay, and interestingly enough, I actually didn't write this in the notes, so I'm going to try to remember what exactly was said here. If I remember right, an ex-VP of online something or other from Electronic Arts, and Peter Moore, formerly from Sega,
mm-hmm.
now of Xbox fame, and I believe somebody... Mm-hmm. From
is he the
Sony.
Bald guy? The bald guy?
Fat, yeah.
Okay.
So, they slammed single-player gaming. Like, openly called single-player gamers wankers. in recent interviews and whatnot. They basically said, online gaming is the future of gaming, period. Single-player games are dead. Period. Get over it. And one of them made an interesting point, though. One of them made it, I don't remember who, and like I said, I didn't write notes on this, I didn't even think I was going to mention it, but here I am. One of them made an interesting point. They said something about when you're a child and you're playing games, when you're a kid, you play games with others. They teach you to play football, baseball, tag,
mm-hmm.
hide and go seek, whatever the fuck it is.
House.
Doctor. Everybody's favorite game to play with somebody else. You play with other people. Video gaming, you play by yourself, which is where you get that whole classic, you know, shut-in gamer, fucking, you know, social reject hermit type, you know, stereotype from. And that this is basically the evolution of games, blah, yada, yada, yada. This is the new entertainment medium for the whole world, blah, blah, blah. And here we are. We've brought this to the masses. Multiplayer. So basically, go fuck yourself on single-player games.
And I call total bullshit.
I think I'm going to go, if you're going 100% bullshit,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, you know, okay, after last week, when it was me and the doctor, And I talked about the multiplayer gaming versus the single-player gaming. I can 100% wholeheartedly defend a single-player game if it is good enough to keep my attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which has suddenly become 100 times harder than it ever was in the past. Because now that single-player game has to compete with a game that has fully dynamic content. You got a bunch of morons running around talking to you all day and harassing you.
Okay. If developers would get off this friggin' bullshit thing about graphics getting better and better and better and better and like not paying attention. Look at all the physical resources of these machines and how much they can improve AI if they used a little bit more of the resources on that.
You've got John Carmack, basically coding guru of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Doom 3's AI was crap.
That's because they were spending too much time on the friggin' graphics.
Do you think John Carmack spent a lot of time on the graphics?
Yes.
I don't think he did. He types in the code to make it look pretty, whatever. He types in the code to get it to work. You've got some artist making those pretty graphics for you.
Okay, but all the code does a lot about the graphics, especially the shading.
That's all going to be code.
Which is where the really pretty graphic things come from. And whenever you listen to an interview with John Carmack, whenever I did,
mm-hmm.
now, granted, 80% of it I couldn't understand.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
But the 20% that I could understand was all about the graphic engine.
You make a good point then. All right.
And look at Oblivion. Oblivion's going to have this crazy AI thing, script that runs over the whole world and like makes people go into special places and clicks. You know what? You're hungry.
We shall see.
Go hunt.
We
will see.
Because maybe when it comes out, we're not going to have any of that. They're going to be like, oh, it was too resource heavy. We spent another 10 hours on graphics.
That's another. And dumped the AI. This is hella graphic intensive.
Right.
If they would quit with this, okay. They are pretty enough.
Yeah, they are.
Leave them as pretty as we got them. Let the hardware catch up a little bit. Start pushing on the AI. Throw some resources into the AI, because that's what it's all about, having these big, huge databases of information so that they can pick. And I mean, I'm not looking for shit that can to talk to. I don't want to be able to talk to my AI.
Right, right.
I'm just saying, you can make some pretty dynamic, cool shit if you spend a little more resources on the AI. And single-player games can be really good because the developers can say, oh, wait, okay, you know what? I want my audience to go through this situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if it's a purely online world, that becomes tougher and tougher.
All right. There goes my argument. I was going to say, you know, basically, graphics are the easy way out. But is it, you know, so... Okay, it's easier to make prettier graphics than it is to make a very, very good AI.
Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's something that the frickin' BNet kiddies can see and appreciate. It's on the surface.
Right, when you're playing
an MMO, who are you going to... You're going to take a bunch of damage dealers because you can see those numbers flying. You don't care about the buffers,
right.
Even though they're doing just as much good.
Yep, that's very true. But I want to argue on the side of... Every other game, okay, Doom is a great example. Like, I want to say, okay, what are the difference in graphics quality between Doom and Doom 3?
What?
Light years.
Astronomical?
Okay. Honestly.
Doom was not even really 3D.
What are the AI differences between Doom and Doom 3?
Much less, that's for sure.
Much less than you think the effort that's gone into the graphics? It seems to me that AI jumped there. I remember in Doom, I mean, you open the door, and the enemies just turn on you and just, you know, and they start walking straight at you.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was it. If they ran into a wall and weren't, you know, set with no clipping and whatever, you know, they might walk around that wall. At least in games today, they're smart enough to maneuver around walls. Look at the Unreal Tournament. Artificial intelligence.
We have the ability through databases and all kinds of other stuff. They could, a game could catalog your moves, and then next time come up with strategies to fight those moves. Like an enemy could have a wide variety of things he can do. He can jump this way, he can jump that way.
They do. They have this. They have a lot of these games learn from the way that you play and try to prevent you from doing things that you do repeatedly. Mm-hmm. A good example, I hate to mention it, is going to be Madden. You know, Electronic Arts has been really big on saying, you know, for the last, 10 years, I don't know if they've managed to do it yet, but, you know, the game learns from the way that you play, as if a coach... Where does it say this?
Yeah. Save.
It probably generates it on the fly. It probably tracks your moves per game.
So every time you turn it off,
I have no idea.
Because I would certainly think that that's way too big of a database to be thrown on the memory card.
But if it's per game, it just has to make a few decisions and remember a few things that you've done over and over and over. Like, if it knows you're going to pick, play number 75 90% of the time, it's going to set up a defense to that play most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then maybe they're going to, it'll have a different layout. It'll set up a defense for that that's different from time to time to try to trick you. I mean, it's pretty good about it. You didn't have that back in Madden 96 or whatever, the original one I remember playing a lot of, the original John Madden football, because I could do the same play over and over and over, never lose. It was a cross pass.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it because it was just the greatest play. You get all the guys to chase you to the right side of the screen, you pass to your receiver who's on the far left, and there's nobody to stop them, But you look at the football games today, and they don't do that. They're much more intelligent about it. They prevent you from doing these things over and over and over. You know, look at, like, Mario Kart. No, they still cheat for their AI. But what I'm saying is maybe we're giving AI a little bit less credit than it deserves.
Maybe.
Because, everybody sees graphics, and then because AI is not exactly like a human would play and random enough, we see the huge flaws in it. John Carmack, I remember, even pointed something out about how great the graphics were in, and I think it was Quake 2. And he said, look at the graphics in, Quake versus, Quake 2 or whatever it was, whatever games it was. I remember him saying something about this and saying, now, take this, whatever other game, whatever it is, with crappy graphics. Okay, so take World of Warcraft and take Quake 2, okay? Now, everybody will fault, that's a bad example because people are going to jump down my throat, but whatever the case is, you've got a game that attempts realistic humanoids, okay? But because they're not, your brain, flags it as, this looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at some shit like World of Warcraft, that is not supposed to look real because we don't have elves with big, huge, floppy ears and little dwarves, that looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You think to yourself. So, there's a little bit of that in there. I think sound has come a long way, too, and we don't give enough credit to that. Think about the sound quality of some of these games. Think about the Wolfenstein sound quality.
Mm.
Remember the exploding noises from your Nintendo games, versus today's. They sound realistic. Things have come a long way. And yet we're still ripping on, these companies for graphics. I don't think it's any of that. I really don't think it's a technological thing. I really don't. I don't think it's the sound that's broken. I don't think it's the AI that's broken. I don't think it's graphics that look like crap. I don't think it's any of that that's wrong with these games. I think that they don't know how to tell a story anymore and grab you, and suck you in. Bottom line, if I can sit there and play some of these old crappy games and enjoy the shit out of them, that puts it to rest right there that it's not about the gameplay. The graphics and the sound and the AI. It's got to be about the gameplay because they were a lot of fun. They had something that was, whether it was simplistic, fun gameplay, or whether it was, even a really deep involved storyline. Look at Final Fantasy 1. That was pretty amazing. And look at how crappy the graphics were for that. You can still sit down to this day and play the shit out of that.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think graphics are that big of a deal. But I think AI is. And I do think that they are not paying as close attention to it as they could.
Maybe they're not. But...
And why do you want to play... Why does anybody want to play online in any of these multiplayer games against humans is because they can learn, they can make strategies.
Right, right.
They can...
That's a hell of a lot of fun.
And certainly I think, personalities and conscious thought is a long way away from AI.
Right.
But being able to come up with strategies from a base sort of thing and learning new tactics and mm-hmm. things, that can't be that tough.
Look how bad the UI is or the AI is in any of these online games. Right? You have mob. Right. You shoot mob. Mob runs at you and attacks you and stands there.
Right.
Now, how come it's not the same when you're doing player versus player? Because they can think and develop these strategies and everything. But like I said before, this is, we've made a technological leap as far as, you know, maybe number of players and the size of the world and how it's getting more all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, they're dropping the ball a little bit on how hard the fights are. Now, granted, you've got to kill a billion things, so they better all be the same to level. Maybe there's a better way. You know, maybe there's something else they can figure out. I'm not quite sure what that is yet, but, you know, hey, you never know. There might be something out there that nobody's thought of yet. Maybe we don't have to have a nice little experience point-based system. Maybe it could be all gear-based.
Could be.
You know, I mean, it would be interesting to play a game like that. Be like,
it ends up being the same, though.
Well, yeah, no, I guess you're right.
You fight this level to get this gear so that you're able to get to this level to get this gear, so you're able to get to the next level to get this gear.
Maybe. There might be another way around that, though. But we've been on this long enough. Grandia 3 for the PS2. Single-player RPG. It's gotta suck. It's not an MMORPG. This is what I'm saying. Now, you look at the Grandia 3 website, people. Guess what you learn about this game? Exactly. Pretty? Nothing. Yeah, it doesn't even look that good.
I think it looks pretty good.
I don't think so. It doesn't look very good. Like, I mean, versus the high standards of graphics I have in my head set forth by Doom 3, mm-hmm. and games like, I'll even say, like maybe Half-Life 2 and whatnot, this game drops the ball. Okay, on graphics. So what? Well, I'm sure it's fun.
PS2.
Right, I know. Right? But, dude, look at Metal Gear Solid 3, though. That game looks fantastic. In any case, single-player RPG. I don't know what else to say about it other than, you know, it's Grandia. They've managed to, well, they claim that they've managed to keep the awesome combat system mm-hmm. of the Grandia series, which is really the crowning achievement as far as RPG fighting goes.
Apparently there's very little in the way of side quests. It's kind of short in the 20-hour range. Very good combat system, just like two and Extreme.
Yeah, Grandia 2 Extreme or something, which I actually never played the Extreme one, which I could have sworn was just more like of a dungeon crawl version of Grandia 2, which was more RPG, so it was more combat. Because, yeah.
That's what everyone liked about it.
Right, wrap that around your head for a minute. An RPG that had combat so good, they did like a spin-off type of it that was mostly combat. Okay, that says a lot for the combat in this game, and it really is, because it's a very strategic RPG combat. You know, it's not just like you have your dudes on the right and the enemies are on the left somewhere.
Nothing is worse than an RPG that's so easy that all you need to do is auto attack, and all the other skills are just because you're gonna
fight a boss eventually.
Bit.
Yeah,
or just so you can do something different.
Yeah, if you're really bored or your friend's over, hey, yeah. Check this spell effect out, man.
Yeah,
right. You're incredibly correct with that, because
and too many of them are like that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Final Fantasy. Now, I guess, like, I seriously looked for, like, storyline in this, you know, like, on their website, and you know what it tells you? Like, there's, like, four little pages, and each one's, like, a paragraph long, and, like, the first paragraph says, there's some ancient sky captain so-and-so, and he was the best, pilot in all the world. And you click, like, next page, and it's like, somewhere in the forest, a fiery arrow whistles through the trees. A scream is heard. And you click the next, like, to the next page, and it's like, and like some 16-year-old kid is like playing in the yard or something.
He's 16?
You know,
really?
Well, whatever it is. Yeah, imagine that. You know, whatever the case is, though, like, it's like four different, you know, totally disconnected, like, sentences almost.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, it doesn't tell you shit about anything there. Their website was a freaking joke, and I was pretty upset.
It's something about, you're this kid who, like, idolizes this major pilot.
Right. That's what I remember from our episode before when we talked about it, like, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not that long, but it was a while ago, and I remember that. And that's it. That's all I remember.
So you're aspiring to be this great pilot, and then you have to go find some artifact to save the world.
Okay, right, yeah. At the end of it all, though, just so you know, things are still intact. You're just saving the planet here, okay? I don't know. It's Grandia, so I am hard-pressed to say that this is not going to be a winner. I really think out of the gate this is just going to take off. I mean, it's Grandia. It's a fat game. I love
it.
Oh, it is already?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll be right back. I got to go to the store. All right. Yeah, that website didn't tell me shit all about the game. go watch some movies of it or something. Go hit up like GameTrailers.com. They probably have videos. Maybe even IGN. Go steal some of their bandwidth, those fuckers. I'm sure they've got plenty to spare. There's two other games that we wanted to talk about this week. One, which I'm going to let Kobar go off on because this I cannot get over.
Okay. So, and of course we forgot to write the name down of the actual game, and I forgot it. It was...
Getting Up or something? Going Up? Getting Up?
Getting Up, Contents Under Pressure.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
Something along those lines. Anyway, this is a game where the storyline is written by Mark Echo. Now, I didn't really know this guy's name, don't get me wrong, but Echo, as many of you may or may not know, is a clothing line, like a gangster rap clothing line, the one with the rhino on the front.
The Thug Life clothing line? Yeah. All right.
Is it like FUBU stuff?
Right, right.
I'm sure many of you have seen the rhino. Anyway,
I've actually never seen that little rhino thing you're talking about, but
really?
Like, no, but I can picture the way his name's written.
Echo with the line over the O?
Right. Well, one of them, yeah, I don't, yeah.
Anyway, so this game is like 50 Cent bulletproof or whatever the hell, only with a dude who makes clothes. The object of this game is to beat up policemen because you're trying to start a revolution and stop the tyranny of the evil government. And by doing this, you beat up the policemen and
enslave a bunch of 6-year-olds to work in your sweatshop in China to sell your clothes?
Right.
Okay.
As well as writing, tagging graffiti all over the city. And the object of this game is to tag graffiti, which is like already there. You're like walking around and you'll notice like a highlighted area with what the graffiti is going to look like once you paint it. And then you put your little spray paint up there and you tag it. And that's it. You beat up policemen and you tag things. And you beat up the policemen by like setting fire to your spray paint and like beating them up with your fists.
Oh my God.
I'm getting really, really tired of all these pop culture games.
Yeah. This one crosses the line, though.
Yeah.
This one, absolutely. Okay, at least, no, I can't even defend Bulletproof.
No, you can't.
I can't. I was going to say at least, you know, maybe they put some of his music in games, but you know what? No. No, that doesn't cut it. That does not cut it. That does not warrant your own video game.
Okay, at least he's not a freaking clothes designer.
Right, okay. This is his company. This is like their marketing director, Echo's marketing director, his wife, gets her hair done at the salon that like some game designer's wife gets her hair done at the same salon. You know what I mean? And like they were like talking one day and had this brilliant idea to sell more clothes and video games.
I hope, for the love of God, that originally this Echo person was a street tagger, and that's how he was an artist and then became a clothing designer.
I keep picturing as him some kind of like high-pitched voice, skinny white guy from Europe, really snooty, you know, with like really slick, greasy looking hair.
I haven't take tea every day at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a little pocket watch.
I think he's really a black guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
And is he from like, the hood?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think he's from New York or something.
Oh, okay, okay.
But...
And he's got style, apparently, because I see a lot of kids thinking they're hard wearing his clothing line.
I admit, freely, that the biggest thing that offends me about this is, after 24 years, I like being on the fringe of society. I like being a geek, and it just offends me that pop culture is invading my territory like this.
This has got to stop.
I tried very hard after a while to just be on my own, away from all this bullshit.
Leave me the fuck alone.
I found a nice little thing in video games where I could be entertained and not have to deal with pop culture, and now it's encroaching on my territory, and it pisses me off.
Dude, next week, we're going to have like the fucking Brad and Angela and Jennifer drama fucking video game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just because it got to be that pop, we're going to have Britney, you know, impregnate Britney. And it's not going to be a little Flash game this time, you know, on Newgrounds. It's going to be a fucking packaged box video game. You know?
It's terrible.
This brings
the whole thing about crappy movie video games and shit like that to a whole new level.
Yeah. Yes, it does. It makes
and the worst part is, if this shit is selling. Ribo told me that 50 Cent was flying off the shelves.
That's what I'm going to be really, really curious to hear about, is how well this game actually sells. I'm dying to know if people are that retarded. And, you know, I already know the answer. People are that retarded.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to rush right out. And then, now the question is, what console is this for?
I believe Xbox.
I was going to say, this has Xbox written all over it.
I believe it was Xbox. It might be cross. It might be a PS2 as
right,
well.
Right, right, right.
But I think I saw this on an Xbox.
I can totally site. See this being an Xbox game. I don't know why, but I can. Holy crap. Seriously.
See, I think this has PS2 okay. written
now,
all over
the,
it.
No, I think it has Xbox written all over it for some reason. I don't see why. Echo. What? That's a bad idea. Why don't they get with the Victoria's Secret people? That is a much, much better idea. Better a bad porn game than a bad thug game.
Yeah.
I think, anyway, because at least a bad porn game isn't all that bad. You know? Christ. Maybe I'm just completely
at least there's some
off base here.
Going.
Right, right. Which it's brings us to... You said that in that new MMR, that Korean MMORPG popped in my head.
Right.
RF Online. Any idea what RF stands for?
No, I'm not. No,
me neither. I have absolutely no clue whatsoever.
And the online part makes you think that maybe there was an RF offline.
Right, right. And I am unaware. And maybe that's because I'm not Korean. Because this, as my understanding, is another Korean MMO.
Which makes sense as to why it would be as PvP-centric as it is, because
right.
they are it's, all about that shit.
Right, and this is an extremely PvP-based game here. With
apparently the world is very tiny. Like,
oh, really?
You have experienced the whole world in, like, 20 levels.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, this is another one of these fantastic games that if you go to their website and click on anything on there, you get a little sign, a little piece of text that says, coming soon.
Now, if you're Korean, there's probably plenty of information.
Oh, yeah, my God. But unfortunately, the Google Translator does not do a very good job for us. So I wasn't able to get shit on this, except for, like, there's three different, like, factions, right? You mm-hmm. have the Korra, which I think are the cool ones. All right, this is, like, if I was going to play, and in fact, we got beta keys.
Yes,
so
we did. We will be
I'm
talking
try
about
to,
this later.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to check this out sometime this week myself, if at the very least just for a little bit. You have something called the Korra, and they're like a very spiritual race, very like you know, elf, humanoid, yeah, human.
They're very spiritual with their cleavage.
Right, right.
They're like all elf chicks. I didn't see any elf males. Well, yeah, no, I take that back. I did see.
Did you? Okay. Okay.
They did have elf males, the Korra males.
But... Okay, I didn't see that, but I remember. And it struck me as Lineage 2.
Right.
Like, I mean, even, like, the artistic style of that game really felt like...
Was that Korean, too, or was it just real popular in Korea?
That was... Yeah, it's NCSoft.
Well,
Korea.
NCSoft is a Korean company?
I'm pretty sure.
So, City of Heroes is a Korean game?
No, but the main company is. I think they publish it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I actually don't know who's supposed to paying for this game. I'm not actually sure. But in any case... The three factions, the Korra, very spiritual, looks like they have like magic and shit, like summoning type stuff too. They can bring like huge summoned crazy creatures into battle with them. Mm-hmm. You've got the, holy crap, I can't remember the names of any of the other ones, I didn't write them down. There's some kind of a mech type race.
Right.
Where they're basically...
They're all robots and
right,
stuff.
All robots that I imagine control bigger robots or something later, and I have no idea.
They seem to be very ranged, like guns and stuff mostly.
Yeah, huh, yeah. And then you have like the humanoid types... Which I can't think of the name of them, and they're very military style with
right.
mechs, like actual mechs. So there's going to be like either people in them controlling that mech, or they're remote controlled mechs or whatever. But somehow you bring all this crap into battle with you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not 100% sure how. I mean, because you can't read anything on this game, and yet it does look like it could be maybe not the best game in the world, but maybe at least somewhat entertaining for at least a little.
I really think it looks really solid. I like the style because I'm a big fan of the whole sci-fi and fantasy thrown into one. And its style and its graphics are pretty nice, but that's about all we know about it at this point, other than it's a very PvP-centric game.
Right, and the graphics are fantastic.
Yeah.
I think they look great. There's a lot of screenshots on the website, and they're really, really nice. They're like 1280 by 1024, maybe 1280 by 960, so they look good. You know, they're really nice high-res shots.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a good look on the game there. And I don't remember where the hell we even found the link to sign up for the beta, but I know it's on their site. I know there's a beta.
We got it at 3D Gamer.
Was that 3dgamer.com or something? Yeah. 3dgamers.com maybe, whatever it is. I don't know. But somehow we managed to get beta keys from there and, you know, whatever. We'll have to check that out after we download the client and everything. Cause I don't know, it really does look kind of interesting. I can tell you right now, this is the kind of game that I won't wind up playing for more than like a couple days. Maximum.
Probably. But it's still good to go check it out, tell you guys.
Right, yeah. And you know, I like playing other games, but unfortunately right now I'm kind of stuck in this damn World of Warcraft because, you know, it's what I gotta do till 60. So, hey, I'm working on it. I'm really close to it now, trying to figure out why to keep playing though. So that was RF Online. I think the website was rf-online.com.
I think there's game thrown in there somewhere.
Oh, is there? Like rf-game?
rfonlinegame.com,
probably?
I think.
Okay, maybe. Alrighty. Watched a few movies this week. I know the Cobar and I both managed to watch The Corpse Bride.
Mm-hmm.
This is that one guy?
Tim Burton.
Not a big fan.
Which you should be.
I don't like his shit. So I went in very skeptical to start, you know, just like this movie is going to blow ass. Or like the chick in the movie, the old lady with the upside down nutsack on her head. The old lady, remember her hair?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've saw it.
Oh, okay.
So those little details are kind of fuzzy.
Shit, I watched this like a couple of days ago. I actually enjoyed it. It actually turned out to be a pretty damn good movie.
I was a little disappointed just because it was... obviously, not really, but basically a sequel to The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the same claymation and the whole, like, undead sort style. And it just wasn't as good. I'm a big fan of Nightmare Before Christmas. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I didn't care for that one. So I don't know. This one was interesting, though. Like, I don't know. There was something about it. Like, it was kind of a cool story. Mm. You know, you got this guy who's supposed to be getting married to some chick, and... the family's trying to get some money or something. I wasn't quite 100% sure anymore. It's been a couple days, and I was pretty tired when I watched it.
It was an arranged marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it had something to do with money, though. Like, one of the families was broke or something.
The family that had the son was supposed to be rich but wasn't, and the family that had the daughter used to be rich and was trying to get money back.
Ah,
or maybe it was vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, it was like that.
And then he winds up going to the like the movie opens up and you learn all that like right away,
right?
Which is probably why I forgot it. Those quick little things they tell you in the beginning of a movie that I just slipped right past me. And they go to the wedding and the guy screws it all up basically.
The practice.
So why did I think that was like a real one? Anyway, he was sent out to go practice. And basically, you know, he was like, no, you've got to go do all this and blah, blah, blah before you can marry, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, like, he's out, like, talking to himself on the woods or whatever, winds up putting his ring on, like, a skeletal fingers and, like, there's, like, this hand stick
it,
on the ground.
It basically just looked like a branch.
Like a tree branch. But
it looks a little bit like a hand.
It looked damn a lot like a hand. But he winds up in, like, the world of the dead or something with some bride that he married by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's a pretty interesting tale. It was pretty funny. My big complaints were where they break out in song, you know, and God damn it. The Simpsons does it every now and again, and I just turn it off. I can't handle that, you know? You don't need to sing. Just say what you have to fucking say.
Well, see that I had a little problem with that, too, because it was very similar to the music in The Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, the song, like the melodies were very similar, but it wasn't as good. So...
yeah, but I don't know. It was all right, though. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I'm having a tough time coming to the rating, though. I'm going to say, however, as interesting and as good as it was, I didn't see myself watching it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is definitely a bring-the-girlfriend-to kind of thing, it seems like. And so at that, I have to knock it a few points for that and stick it with a 4.75 out of 8.75. It wasn't all that bad, but it wasn't worth watching by yourself.
That's about right. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 5.
Okay. Fair enough. On to a fantastic movie. The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Meh.
Now, this was pretty good.
It was kind of funny. It was too predictable, too formulaic.
Okay. Now, what I was... right. We'll blow it for you right now. He winds up with some chick.
Whoa!
Oh, my God. I didn't see that coming. Holy shit.
Like, not even just having sex. It's like a real relationship.
Right. Holy crap. Now, what my problem with these kind of movies, and when I say these kind, I'm talking mostly like Dodgeball, Wedding Crashers, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Deuce Bigelow. Most of these, Anchorman. That's a better example than Deuce Bigelow. Anchorman. Okay, it seems like that whole click of movies, maybe it's just those actors and the movies they keep getting put in or something.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like so little goes on with like the plot and the overall story, and like it just kind of gets, it's almost like it's tacked on around the jokes,
mm-hmm.
which is bizarre because it's like I'll sit there and try to watch it and I'm disappointed. But if I'm not watching it and like not really focusing on it, but every now and again I'm catching a one-liner or something out of it,
right.
I laugh my ass off, and I'm not quite sure what that says for movies these days. You know, I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Well, it's almost like a genre of comedy.
And
we've had it for a very long time now. It's not like
No, but there's been more lately.
Well,
it's like a certain group of actors all had like the same idea or the same sense of humor or something.
Right.
And it seems like all of a sudden we're getting a lot of comedy movies that weren't like John Candy funny. They're different. You know, they're different humor, and they're funny. They're downright hilarious.
You know what they need to bring back is the titty comedies from the 80s.
The titty comedies, like Porky's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fine example. it's like this comedy movie that's like...
Nerds.
Not really about the movie. It's about the titties.
Right, right. We definitely need more titties in movies. Definitely. And comedy movies are great because they give an excuse.
Right.
You know, you can sit there and watch it with your girlfriend and laugh and laugh and laugh, but all the time you go, yeah, yeah. Because you can't just write out and take it to a porno.
No.
No, you can't. But the 40-Year-Old Virgin, it was pretty funny. I mean, there was a lot of funny stuff in there.
It was pretty funny. I found myself chuckling quite a few times.
It turned out being funnier than I thought it was going to be. I was actually kind of like I expected it to be pretty damn good. And it actually kind of went above that. Like, some of those one-liners and some of the weird shit in it was just so funny that I couldn't believe it. You know, and it's like, it's the kind of thing that sticks in your head that at some point in your day at work, somebody says something and it triggers that reaction. And you may not say it to them, but in your head you hear they feel like bags of sand.
I was just thinking about that one line.
You know, and you just fucking want to start laughing and you crack this stupid-ass smile and people think you're nuts. And they don't know what just ran through your head, you know?
Pretty funny. My problem, like I said in the beginning, is it was so formulaic. It was just like everything. You knew exactly what was going to happen next.
Right. Right.
I mean, not even like the overall idea. I mean, it, like the next, the, every little thing that happened, you knew it was coming.
it was very transparent. It was, which is why, it gets knocked a little bit. It was a comedy, so it was funny, and I did laugh my ass off. So I'm going to stick this out of 8.75. It is absolutely deserving of 6.75. It only falls short because you see the whole thing coming, and it would have been fantastic. Like, this made me think of this when I saw this movie at the end of it. And it was like, this is bullshit, this movie should not end like this. Dodgeball was the same way. Mm. Dodgeball shouldn't have ended like that, you know? They did a damn good job of fixing the ending for the happy ending.
Right.
You know, but the movie would have been much better with a different ending, I think.
I'm going to give the 40-Year-Old Virgin... 575.
Pretty solid rentals though this week, it looks like,
yeah.
You know. 40-Year-Old Virgin.
See it. I just wouldn't have liked it to be in the theater.
Yeah, no, I would have been pretty upset about that. Saw 2 comes out on DVD on the greatest day of all. St. Valentine's Day, February 14th. Here, that's in, oh, Jesus Christ, two days.
Shit. How are you doing?
I'm going to work. Saw 2, I'll probably be buying Saw 2, this Valentine's Day for your St. Valentine's Day massacre celebration. I wanted to mention that because I'm a big fan of Saw. Not that I've seen Saw 2, but, you know, hey, I'll pimp it anyway because I'm sure it's pretty good. Now, there was some other things that we want to talk about. Other movies that are coming out here fairly soon. One of them, I think, is actually a bit off in the distance, so we'll mention that one first. And that is... seems like I'm missing a page here, but there was one other movie. I can't remember what it is now.
There's no other pages.
No. I must have not put it in the notes. Well, then that's right.
Was it Final Destination? Is that what it
No, because that one's out.
Oh.
That one's out. Okay, then if I add that one to the list, it must have been Firewall. That's the one, Firewall. Yeah, it's on there. I just didn't put the date on there like I thought I did. Okay. Because I didn't know what the date was.
Mm.
It says, like, coming soon. But, okay, wait. Final Destination 3
mm-hmm.
is, like, number 2 at the box office or some shit right now.
This is crazy. I guess.
It could be a fantastic movie.
It might be.
Because, like...
2 wasn't.
No, it was good, though. Like, 2, I was entertained. I was entertained enough because I like the crazy... Dude, they're just sitting in an apartment and a guy dies.
That's what was good about number 1. Number 1 was a good movie.
But as unbelievable as they are, even in 2, like the swordfish or whatever that swings down from the ceiling and sticks the guy, holy shit.
It wasn't even the same people.
That's because they die.
No, the people who survive, and well, like, there was... the end of number 1 set up the perfect thing for a sequel, just like too many movies do. And then a sequel came out, and it didn't use the setup.
Well, but there was. How many people alive at the end of number 1? 1 or 2?
3.
The son and the wife and the not the husband, or the father. Didn't he die? See, there was multiple.
Son, wife, and the husband.
In the very first one, remember the chick gets pregnant.
The girl
gets pregnant.
Does she?
There was like 4 endings though, which is why I'm fucked up about.
Okay,
it.
Okay, I'm just talking about the real one.
I can't remember
when they're in Paris. And
and they're like having coffee.
Yeah.
And the sign swoops down.
Right.
And what happened? It missed them all?
Blacks, yeah.
Right. So they all died.
No.
Moving on, Final Destination isn't about those jerk-offs. It's about death, getting screwed, and having to go after the people.
Okay.
That's
fine. I still didn't like number 2. Number 2 was a $3 movie.
No way. Yes. No way. At least $4.50.
Now, 1 was like...
$8.
$6.50,
no,
$7.50.
One blew my mind. One was...
I wouldn't call it an 8. I own it. It was good enough to buy.
Yeah, it was. One was like an 8. That was a great movie. I watched that movie so many times. It had Stifler in it, man. And the kid from Idle Hands. That was a great... And that, who was the chick?
I don't know.
I can't remember either. Anyway.
But yes, one was a great movie. I even bought it. It was good enough to buy. But 2 was just like... More of the same without being enough that was even better.
But see, there was... Well, right, okay. It wasn't... Yeah, okay. Okay, right. But it didn't make it a bad movie, though. It made it a passable movie. I enjoyed it. You go from $8 to $4 real quick.
Okay.
You know. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I didn't buy it. Don't even think I paid for it. I think I borrowed somebody's. And I actually didn't watch that very many times. I probably watched it... Twice, maybe three times.
In my opinion...
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Are you?
I am now.
In my opinion, number 3, in order for it to even be a passable movie, the deaths would have to be so completely outrageous. And that would be cool. Because that was the thing about 1 and even 2.
Right.
Was these crazy deaths. Like, then all of a sudden, like, the guy in the bathroom, it, like the thing that the bottle of soap tips over and makes
the bathtub slippery.
Yeah. And then he grabs the thing and it slips around his neck and it's just these crazy
He's laying there in the tub and can't stand up. Yeah.
And that's what made it cool. And so in order for 3 to be enough that was new, those deaths would have to be absolutely insane.
Okay. And I'll tell you right now, they probably won't be because if you remember the trailer, they're at an amusement park.
Right.
So you're probably going to see a guy die on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a guy who dies on... a Ferris wheel.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a guy who dies in a haunted house. There's going to be some chick who dies on a merry-go-round. You know what I mean? It looks like it takes place...
There's
like
something very nice about the pole that goes through the horse.
See, they can be creative about this. They really could.
They need to be very creative.
Right, and where I bet they're going to drop the ball is they're going to kill him in some not-so-great fashion... And they're going to be discovered in the amusement park in a weird way. Like, the guy who's going to die in the haunted house is going to be the easy one. You know, they're going to think he's a prop. Mm-hmm. And at some point, somebody's going to figure out he's dead. You know what I mean? That's kind of... I kind of hate that crap when they... It's a dead body. How do you not notice? You know?
It's not made of plastic.
Jesus Christ. It's the only thing anyone looks somewhat realistic. You know, I don't know. They're going to have their work cut out for them. You're right. So... this immediately drops to a very reasonable $2 movie. You know, a very possible $2 movie right out of the gate. We should come out with some kind of a modification to our system. Divide by sequel number. Fucking A. That's not a bad idea. That
then
would
it has to get major bonus points to bring
right,
it up into
right. But that would be like a good like that would be a good thing to dissuade you know sequels in a oh crap what was the word I was thinking of there's a ideas what am I thinking of holy crap well whatever the case is they need like some kind of I lost the word.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, like a revolutionary game. Okay, mm-hmm. We're not going to see the same thing. We're not going to, you know, if it's the same thing, it's going to get knocked points
right.
Because it's just like well, I don't know.
Just
well,
like is okay though. Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, right. It is. That's how you get Doom and Half-Life.
That's why
just
you,
like it.
That's why you can't have that be like a across.
Isn't
the
it
board
an MMORPG?
Thing.
Half. Right. You're right. You can't do that.
Not
okay.
Across the board.
Yeah, but maybe okay. Tomb Raider Legends, whatever the shit.
No.
Tomb Raider Legend. Okay, I think the graphics look spectacular. I'm glad they're going back to being in a tomb. It's gonna lick balls. Divide by seven. This is the seventh Tomb Raider game out there.
It's not gonna even lick balls very well.
If this game gets $1.25, it's in great shape. You know, holy crap. I mean, well, no, it'd be closer to maybe $6 or $7. About $7 would be about $50 game. So if it gets like maybe 7 and 12 cents or something ish, somewhere in that range, you're looking at a great game.
Yeah.
So remember that shit. The last thing we wanted. No, there was two more. This movie called Firewall with Harrison Ford. He's like a security dude that works at a bank or some shit. I don't know. His family gets kidnapped. He has to work.
That's never happened before.
Yeah, right? He has to work for the bad guys. To break into the bank, hack the bank, whatever he's got to do to get the money.
Eventually, he gets fed up with it and fights back.
My God. It sounds like, what was that one with the guy from Die Hard, Bruce Willis, recently? It was a recent movie, just
Did
like that.
Did he just
that.
Have one?
Yeah, he just made a movie, and it was. Yeah. It sounds exactly like this, except for he's a police officer.
And then there's Ransom. I mean,
Ransom? No, that's not
no,
Ransom.
That's
Mel
movie.
Gibson.
Yeah. I was just saying, they've done this a million times.
Hostage. That's the movie I'm thinking of.
Oh,
Hostage.
Right.
It's yeah, exactly. It sounds more the same. Harrison Ford.
He looks really old now.
Yeah, he does.
The last time I saw him, he still looked like a Indiana Jones
a little bit, huh? Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. But this movie's called Firewall.
Maybe
I don't know.
They just did his makeup
date.
A little different because now he's supposed to be a dad.
Yeah, old father type, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been at the bank for 20 years, they said. Yeah. Right, maybe.
So it might just be a little makeup deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe he like had more makeup in the last thing I saw him.
That could be too. And the very last thing, we have 1 minute to squeeze this in. Pirates of the Caribbean 2. What is it called? Dead Man's Chest, I think.
Yeah. Looks like it could be good.
I just wrote that down. I might have just made that up.
I don't think that's what it was.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be as good as the first one, but it still looks like it could be entertaining.
Yeah, it very well could be. July 7th, Johnny Depp, that one guy I hate so much. What's his name?
The dude from
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the archer.
Yeah. Legolas.
Right.
And every ranger and hunter on any MMORPG.
In the Rangers and Guild Wars, one of the models looks just like him.
Oh my God. Weak. But yeah, I don't know. I'll keep an eye out for it. July 7th, that comes out pretty soon. Should be pretty good because the first one was fantastic. I love that damn movie. Captain Jack Sparrow.
Aye.
The shit. We will be back next week.
See you.
Peace out.
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello, Kid Monster.
You are ruining my song.
Oh, me sorry, me no mean to.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, please, being quiet for a minute so I can finish.
Okie dokie.
Good. I'm glad we have this new technology.
For porn.
Which gives us untold opportunity.
For porn. Oh, sorry.
From your own desktop.
For.
You can research, browse, and shop. Until you've had enough and you're ready to stop.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn. The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
Me up all night hugging me. Porn to porn. Porn, porn.
That's gross. You're a pervert.
Ah, sticks
Sandstone's Kate Monster.
No, really, you're a pervert. Normal people don't sit at home and look at porn on the internet.
Oh?
What?
You have no idea. Ready, normal people?
Ready.
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 Let me hear it.
The internet is for porn.
Sorry, Kate.
The internet is for porn.
I masturbate.
All these guys unzip their flies for porn. Porn.
The internet is not for porn.
Porn.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
Now, I happen to know for a fact that you, Rob, check your portfolio and trade stocks online.
That's correct.
And Brian, you buy things on Amazon.com.
Sure.
And Gary, you keep selling your possessions on eBay.
Yes, I do.
And Princeton, you sent me that sweet online birthday card.
True.
Oh, but Kate, what you think he do after?
Yeah.
Ew!
The internet is for porn.
Gross!
The internet is for porn.
I hate porn.
Grab your dick and double click for porn. Porn, porn.
I hate men.
Porn.
I'm leaving.
Porn.
I hate the internet.
The internet is for